Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, top of the hour to you, everybody. Welcome back to the program. 5 o'clock is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Gwynn and Chris hanging out with you till 7 o'clock this evening. Coming up in this hour of the program, we'll hear some more from A.J. Preller, Padres general manager, year-end press conference today. We'll get an update on the potential talks or the interest the Padres and Fernando Tatis Jr. could have on beginning negotiations as far as getting some sort of long-term deal done with the young great shortstop. Luis Patino, Mackenzie Gore, what is their role moving forward with this Padre franchise? We'll find out all of that from A.J. Preller in just a little bit. We got our countdown coming your way. And also in our happy hour today, some NFL news and notes, Scraby style. So that's coming up a little bit later on. Tony just pointed out something interesting to me during the break. It is reason number 4,792 why you should never bet on anything. And here is the reason that you shouldn't bet on anything. The over-under for total runs scored in today's Dodger-Braves game was 10?
Yes.
So if you bet under 10 for the total runs scored in the Dodger-Braves game, you lost in the top of the first inning.
You didn't even get out of the first.
You didn't make it through the top of the first inning.
That's why betting is always this is type of stuff that happens when you bet.
And I know there's some wise guy listening going, yeah, but if I bet the over, I won in the top of the first inning. Yeah, well, good for you. Keep betting then. And see how far it takes you. Dodgers.
And if you go down when you bet, just keep betting and you'll finally make your money back. That's how it works.
Right. That's how it's supposed to work,
just
right?
Keep betting no matter
Every
how much
Every one of
you
us
win.
Have a friend like this. I had a friend of mine. We're in Las Vegas many, many years ago, and we're watching a baseball game. And I bet on one side $10. He bet on the other side $10. So we kind of had a little fun with that and watched the game and sat back. And bottom of the ninth inning, his team rallied and scored a couple of runs and won the game. And he started jumping around the casino. And I got to be honest with you, I felt some type of way about that because although I was happy for his victory, I lost.
Right.
I was kind of like, all right, you don't really need to rub it in. You know, you won your $10. Good for you. But, you know, he goes, dude, I bet $500 on that game. And he showed me the ticket. And I'm like, oh, man, I want to, you know, I was not pleased. And my whole point was, in my mind, I mean, he was all excited because he won his $500, granted. But how many times had he done that in the past and not told me? You know what I'm saying?
This couldn't have been
the only time that he did that. And I think all of us have friends or know somebody like that who kind of runs around and tells you every time they win a big gambling bet. But don't fall for it, because to win one big gambling bet, you usually have to lose a bunch along the way.
Yeah,
all right, that's
usually
my gambling
speech. That's usually
how
it goes.
Yeah.
That's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's my gambling speech for the day. 15-1 is the score of that ball game, by the way. Last I checked, I finally flipped it off. Boy, that's
still
not
correct.
Very nice.
Yeah, don't give it the bird.
I finally flipped it off. I'm sorry. It was a nice game. I just I changed channels was a better way to get that. All right, here's our chance for you to win. This is such a great prize, and you definitely want to qualify for your chance to win this. We have our Gwynn and Chris Vegas Vacation Getaway, and it is time for our daily question. Now, if you've been listening to the show, this will be a very easy question for you, and you'll know the answer. And then all you have to do is call in 833-288-0973. Be the first caller in, and you will qualify to win a three-night stay with a round of golf for two and a $250 food and beverage credit at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. It's legendary. It's Vegas. It's fun. And this is a great prize, and you want to qualify for the month of October. All you have to do is answer this simple question, which tells us you were listening to the show a little bit earlier. And today's question, and remember, first person to dial in with the correct answer, who did Tony and I wish a belated happy birthday to a little bit earlier in the program today? Who did Tony and I wish a belated happy birthday to a little earlier in the program today? And like I said, if you've been listening to the show, that's a piece of cake. 833-288-0973, and your chance to qualify to win that three-night stay. The golf, the food, the beverage, all the stuff, the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. All right, Tony, let me ask you this real quick, because kind of the NLCS game today is kind of over, kind of a wash. Dodgers are going to get back in the series for sure. But let me ask about the American League Championship Series. If you were Dusty Baker and Jose Altuve had the problems, the yips, whatever it is, I mean, he's made three throwing errors in the last two games. He's made four errors in the playoffs, basically threw away your chances to win the game last night. Would you consider, or would you have considered, because the lineups are out, would you have considered putting him at DH tonight, or do you just tell him, hey, man, you got to get it together and go back and play second base and overcome this stuff because we need you right now?
It's the latter. I mean, especially because their team is built around having a specific DH. It's not built to have Jose Altuve there.
Right.
And I think Dusty Baker basically said the latter, which is, hey, man, flush it. We're gonna need you to get over it and get back out there. Because for those who've seen the yips or have experienced them themselves, it comes in bunches. It's usually not like a long, drawn-out, once a day. Like, there'll be two or three in the same game. Then there won't be one for two games. Then it'll pop up again. And really, there is no right or wrong answer in how you deal with it because everybody's a little bit different. So, but if I'm Dusty Baker, I'm certainly trying to convince Jose Altuve that I still have confidence in him. I need you to push this aside or flush it, like completely get it out and get back out there tomorrow because you're gonna need him in order to, especially if you come back from a 3-0 deficit at this point.
Yeah.
You're going to need him in your lineup and you're going to need him in the place that he's normally playing, which is second base.
I could see maybe if it was a one-game take-all thing, maybe
right,
you could stick
right,
him at DH
right.
for one game. But you're right. They have to win four in a row. And if they're going to win one and then two and then more than that, they're going to have to do it with, you know, Jose Altuve at second base. So
yeah, no doubt.
We'll see. Zach Greinke will try to keep the Astros alive tonight. I hope he likes the mound at Petco Park tonight, Tony.
That's a good point.
Do you think he'll say?
Do
you think he'll say
like
hello
it.
To his friends in the grounds crew when he goes out
I'm
to
sure,
pitch today?
I'm sure if he does, they'll be flipping him the bird as they go.
They'll
out
be
there
flipping
to
him
fix.
Off, huh?
Remember the last time Greinke yeah. was in Petco, he was last seen sitting with both his legs crossed,
yes.
waiting as they prepped the mound back the way he liked it.
Yes, they prepped the mound for Sir Greinke the last time he was here.
Sir Greinke.
With the Astros. Somebody tweeted this out today, and it was correct. The Astros are 0-6 at Petco Park this year. And somebody was very happy to tweet that out. By the way, the most handsome man on the planet, Tyler Glasnow, is pitching tonight for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Are you talking about Jimmy G?
No, no.
I am not talking about Jimmy G.
Tyler Glasnow has now taken that mantle from Jimmy G.
Yes, Mark Grant pointed it out the other night, and then Tony and I looked up pictures of him, and there's not a whole lot you can do.
No. There really isn't.
Thank you for that promo.
Oh, come on. Tampa. By the way, it's been a great year for the city of Tampa.
How about that?
I was thinking about this the other night. If so far, the first two champions of the 2020 year, hockey, it was Tampa Bay, and basketball, of course, it was Los Angeles, and then they could meet in the World Series, Tampa Bay and Los Angeles. That could still happen. And even further, you know, Tampa Bay, if they were to win baseball along with hockey, they have to be considered a football team that has at least a puncher's chance.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They've got Tom Brady as their quarterback. This could be one of the great sports years in history for any city. I know that a bunch of cities have won two championships in the same year. I know Boston did it several years ago. And I know Los Angeles did it in 1988 with the Lakers and the Dodgers, and they're trying to repeat that this year. But I can't recall a single city ever getting three of the four major championships in the same year. I can't go back and all the way in history there. So
I feel
maybe
like
it happened
there was a Boston. I feel like Boston did it.
Who did it?
I feel like Boston did it.
You think Boston might have done it with the Celtics and the Bruins
and the Patriots? I mean, didn't they all three win at the same time?
I think they did.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
I think the Bruins, I think it was the Bruins, the Red Sox, and I think it was the Patriots. I don't think it was the Celtics because I think they won in years maybe where there might have been two, but I'm almost positive they did it. They did that.
You guys are not going to believe this, but I actually have a list of champion teams by city.
I believe
all the way back to 1970.
I believe it.
I have it on my 1970 computer desktop here. And according to what I have, Boston did get the double in 2004 with the Red Sox and the Patriots. The Boston Bruins won the Stanley Cup in 2011.
So that's baseball then, right?
That's
no, Red Sox
no, that's hockey.
Won in 2011.
Yeah, the Patriots did not win
but the Patriots and Red Sox did not win that year. And the Celtics won in 2008, and also that was a year in which the Red Sox and Patriots did not win. So I don't see one where three.
Maybe it hasn't happened. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it happened in the 50s or 40s, 60s. You know, somebody knows it, let me know, or Scraby if you find out. But Tampa Bay has an outside chance at something like that as we move forward in this crazy year. The other story today, we're talking baseball playoffs, obviously quite a bit. Dodgers pasting the Braves in the NLCS to get back in the series. What's the score now? Has it changed?
No, it's still 15-1.
Still
into the
easing
fifth now.
Easing along. Are they in the fourth inning yet?
They're in a fifth now. They've gotten
fifth
through
inning.
The fourth pretty quick. Yeah,
this thing's sailing along now.
It's picked up a little bit.
2.5 hours later. Of course, if you're just tuning in, the Dodgers batted for almost an hour in the first inning and scored a record 11 runs. So this game has been kind of comical ever since. But the other big story in sports today is college football that Nick Saban, the great, whether I like him or not, he is a great coach. The great head coach at Alabama testing positive for COVID-19. Symptom-free at this point. But I guess there has to be at least a little question on the Alabama-Georgia game for Saturday night. They'll find out. They're going to test everybody in that Alabama football program here today. And then once they get the results, I guess that will determine whether or not they can still play Saturday night. But Nick Saban, positive test, did leave the facility immediately. The athletic director, Greg Byrne, also tested positive for COVID-19. So that's the other big story that we're keeping an eye on today. All right. Quinn and Chris brought to you by Sonic Drive-Ins here in San Diego. Amazing burgers and drinks. 8 locations around town, so Google Sonic San Diego. find the location nearest you. Thanks, Sonic. Take a quick time out here. When we come back, A.J. Preller picks things back up, his end-of-the-season press conference. You heard a little bit of it earlier in the program. We'll hear some more of it when we return. Find out the latest on extension contract talks for Fernando Tatis Jr. and whether or not that's something that might happen. Boy, would that be terrific. We'll get the latest on that and some other stuff from A.J. Preller when we return. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr. It's Gwynn and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station.
520. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Dodgers up big in game three of the NLCS, 15-1. The Rays and Astros getting set to for first pitch here in about 15 minutes. We got a chance to hear from A.J. Preller today as Padre fans, and he had some, I thought, some good news. And one of the subjects that we didn't cover in our earlier segment was the idea of Fernando Tatis Jr. and the Padres coming to an extension. Here's what A.J. Preller had to say about it.
In terms of payroll and budgets for this offseason, I think that's really over the course of the next couple of weeks. I think we'll start getting more and more into those conversations, internally, and then and also with Ron and Peter, and then with Tatis. Yeah, I think everybody's been upfront that when you get it's job is to get talented players and individuals that fans love to see play that lead to a winning situation, and then. You want to keep those guys in the city, and I think he's expressed interest. I know we'll go down that path, and look more a little more. I think during the season this year it's such a short season, and it was such like a sprint to the finish line that I don't think there was a lot of I think from our standpoint in the middle of all of that trying to put a contract negotiation in there. I think we'll start to look more serious at that here this offseason, and it sounds like there's interest on both sides, so we'll see where.
That's always a good thing. Interest on both sides. You heard A.J. Preller say they would probably be conversations that happen during next season, and that's on pace for what I think most negotiations would take place for a guy who doesn't have that kind of service time. They'll worry about it during the year, and hopefully they can come to an agreement. That would be – I think that would, more so than anything else the Padres can do, that would be a big step forward in having some continuity moving forward in terms of having somebody, a face of a franchise, and Fernando Tatis Jr. This one is, I think, by all accounts, I don't think anybody's not on board with seeing him as a Padre for as long as possible, Chris.
No, I don't think so. First of all, real quick, give us all a little update, or as much as you know, Tony, what if they don't come to an agreement with Fernando Tatis Jr. here in the next year or so? And how does it play out normally? I mean, how long is he a Padre, or how long is he under control? And then when could he, unfortunately, conceivably become a free agent? Because he's played, 2 years now?
2 years. And then remember, the agreement for this 2020 season was if you opted in, you got full service credit. So it's basically as though he played two full seasons
right
at the big league level. So next year will be his third season. That makes him, after the 2021 season, that will make him arbitration eligible. Padres
really?
Can then, yeah. So his pay raise will start happening after the 2021 season. So his 2022 season, he'll get a pay raise. What that is, we don't know yet. But from there, the Padres will get three arbitration eligible years, so 2022, 2023, 2024, and then he's a free agent after the 2024 season. So the Padres have some time, but the issue pops up when a guy like Fernando Tatis continues to get better and better over the course of those years. And if you haven't come to an agreement, or more importantly, if Fernando decides he wants to bet on himself, that price tag could get pretty high. And he may, and we don't know what Fernando's thinking. He may feel comfort in having a long-term deal right now.
Yeah.
He may also feel comfortable going year by year and playing out his arbitration years and maximizing his top dollar. We don't know how that's going to work. But it sounds like there's interest on both sides, though.
Seems to me, just judging it from the outside looking in, Seems to me that Fernando Tatis Jr. kind of holds the cards here. I hate to say that because I'm usually on the player's side, but on this one, I'm really hoping that the Padres find a way to, you know, get this guy locked up for a long time and, you know, just be able to say, hey, look, we're going to have this left side of the infield for the next, you know, 7-8 years. And with that, we're going to be contending for a title for the next 7-8 years. But if Fernando Tatis Jr. does not want to sign an extension, it seems to me, Tony, that he can go right along without signing one and still be in outstanding shape, provided he doesn't have a major injury, of course.
Right.
But the money that this guy can command, I mean, there's no ceiling on it right now, right?
There is.
I mean,
there
at least not through 2 years.
There is.
So you got to just hope that he wants to stay with the Padres and sign a long-term deal. And I'm not saying that he won't. I'm just saying I hope that he does.
I think the part of the reason why you wait to the end of the year, right, is who do you think Fernando Tatis Jr. wants his comp to be, meaning his comparison to be? It's to Francisco Lindor. Francisco Lindor will set that market. I believe he's a free agent after this season, right? Or is it after next season?
I'm not sure.
I wish I could.
I don't follow that stuff as closely as I should.
I know that they were trying to move him because he was coming up on that free agent date here pretty soon. Scraby, yeah. I see you looking it up. You got an answer for us?
He is a free agent, or he has an arbitration year in 2021.
Okay, so he has one more year of arbitration, and then he becomes a free agent. So the longer this plays out, the more Francisco Lindor's contract is going to play into it. There's a lot of moving parts, but you're right. Ultimately, FTJ holds the cards. As long as he's healthy and as long as he continues to be Fernando Tatis Jr., yeah, he holds all the cards. And that's kind of what a lot of – and we're not really a small market. We're kind of like right in the middle, I guess, maybe a little bit above that. But that's what a lot of the small market teams, you know, dread is they
yes.
want to get you signed early because they know the longer they wait and the better you get, it's going to be harder and harder to sign him. So you're right. I hope that the Padres find a way to make this happen for sure because
yeah.
Fernando is really, from what we've seen, is a once in every, 10, 12-year type player that
it's
pops up on the
guy.
Scene.
Hey, Fernando, I don't mean to jinx you, but you could get hurt. You better sign. You know, you got to watch
say
it.
That.
Huh?
Don't ever say that.
No, I don't want to jinx him. I just want him to sign.
That is, listen, that's part of, that is
that's
a,
the only argument I have.
That is one of the negatives, if there is one, to waiting. Is,
yeah.
You know, look what happened to Dak Prescott. He was trying to, you know, wait it out, get the most he could, and he ends up breaking his ankle pretty bad. Not that that's an injury that you are likely to see in baseball, but you never know. You just never know. And that's something that all players weigh as they go through this process. Let's get to some more comments from A.J. Preller. He talked a little bit about two of the young studs that are coming up. We saw Luis Patino this year. We saw him come in and kind of establish himself at the big league level, but we didn't see Mackenzie Gore. And A.J. Preller was asked if he believes that Patino and Gore will be competing for one opening spot in the starting rotation.
It's probably too far away. I think, you know, with starting pitching, I think it's, you know, I think we'd all love to say, hey, we've got our five and that's it really for the rest of the year. But I think we all know, you know, the pitching front, things change pretty quickly. So I think, you know, we've continued to subscribe to the theory of as many starters as possible. That's a good problem to have. We can put guys in the pen. Guys can get options to the minor leagues. You know, we're hoping there's not going to be injury, but, you know, that's always a possibility. So I think for us, I think that would be the best scenario is, you know, you look up and we have too many starters and we're kind of deciding what to do. But yeah, I think the message isn't going to be, hey, there's one spot available. There's two spots. It's just going to be ready to come in and compete and, you know, perform to the best of your ability and be ready to make a spot on the, you know, to earn a spot on the team.
Is there a such thing as too many starters now? I mean,
no,
especially if the MLB decides they want to continue the no off days in the playoffs scenario. Like, can you really have too many starters? I think the Padres learned that answer to that question over this past playoff.
You can't have too many pitchers either. I mean, look what the Padres did in the postseason this year. I mean, they were going with a 15-man roster of pitchers. That's crazy to me anyway. I mean, I'm thinking back to, if I could turn back time, but to the days where you had a 10-man
I mean, you knew what was going to happen when you said that.
Well, that's why I said it, was I was hoping you'd just avoid it for a change. But teams used to have 10 pitchers at the most, and about two or three of those guys hardly ever pitched. You know what I mean? It was like a four-man rotation and like three guys in the bullpen that you trusted, and the other three guys only pitched when the score was 15-1, like in this Brave-Dodger game. But now the Padres had 14, 15 guys, and they used them all in six games of the playoffs. So, you can't have enough pitching. So I wouldn't trade any of it.
Clearly, something wasn't right in terms of Mackenzie Gore, because we didn't see him. And he was the name that we expected to see.
Yeah.
Almost a definite. And, we saw Ryan Weathers before we saw Mackenzie Gore. So we'll see how that plays out. Last one from A.J. Preller. He was asked his views on the decision whether or not to pick up Mitch Moreland's option, especially because we don't know if the DH rule will continue into 2021.
The DH question is definitely a question that I think all the teams are asking about right now. Is like, when will you find out, and kind of what's that going to look like? Because it does affect your team planning. And I think with Mitch, when we acquired him, I think one of the I think one of the things for us with pretty much everybody we acquired outside of Rosenthal, was that there was some carry forward value. So we felt that was an option that was going to be something that we would consider. I think that'll be what the next couple of weeks is going to be about, until right after the World Series, is making that call. Probably would help a little bit, having a sense of if there's a DH or not. But I think in general, we'll those will be the conversations we'll make. And try to get a sense of a budget, and then try to get a sense of where everybody fits in. And, he had had some, again, I think he came over. He was extremely hot when he came over, early on, and in the program cooled down a little bit. But he had some big hits for us down the stretch. So we'll take a look at everything and make that call there right after the World Series.
Note to Major League Baseball: make a decision soon so these teams can start preparing. I think it's a little
simple.
Unfair that
you've got to make a decision on this. Absolutely, right?
Because
Mitch Moreland doesn't have a spot if there's no DH.
No, there's no reason to have Mitch Moreland if you're, especially at that dollar, if he's not a DH at this point. So
he's got
MLB.
To have a
you
DH
guys
got
to get on it. And I know the MLB has had a lot in their hands dealing with the bubble and all that, but that decision needs to be made. We can't have teams hanging out trying to figure out what's going on. All right. When we come back, we got a countdown coming your way.
Welcome back to the big afternoon drive program. Chris Hello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Speaking of afternoon drive, some of you might just be hopping in your cars after work today and go, man, I got to get home and see the end of that Dodger-Braves game. I got to bust it. I got to get home. You know what? Move on over to the slow lane, pal.
Move on over.
Take your time.
That game was over 2.5 hours ago, and that's about when it started. If you're just tuning in, Dodgers scored a postseason record 11 runs in the top of the first inning that game. Yeah. And they've tacked on a few since then. It's 15-1 Dodgers. They're in the top of the sixth inning. So take your time getting home. Relax. Enjoy the program. American League Championship Series. Tonight could be the night that the Tampa Bay Rays advance to their second World Series as they try to eliminate the Houston Astros. This hour is brought to you by San Diego County BMW Centers through November the 2nd. Lease a 2020 BMW X5 S-Drive 40i for $669 a month for 36 months with $5,094 due at signing. Contact a San Diego County BMW Center today for details or visit sdcountybmw.com. All right. We're going to get to our countdown here in just a second. Last night, Tennessee beat Buffalo 42-16, and they stay undefeated. So you've got, what do you got? Four undefeated teams in the National Football League now, Tony.
Yeah.
The Green Bay Packers, the Seattle Seahawks, the Tennessee Titans, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are your
Steelers.
Four unbeatens. Steelers play the Browns this weekend at home.
Good
Could
matchup.
Be an interesting game. Titans are home to the Texans. Packers have, I think, probably the most interesting game of the week. They're at Tampa Bay to take on Tom Brady and the Bucks. And then the Seahawks are off. So that's your update on your NFL unbeatens through week
Seahawks,
number five.
When are we going to get to see the Seahawks take on Scraby's 49ers? I can't wait.
Well,
for that
the 49ers, from what I am told, have applied with the National Football League to make sure that they only play teams with losing records the rest of the season.
Is that right? They're going to skip Seattle is what you're telling me.
Yeah, they don't have to play Seattle or New England or Green Bay or anybody. They're 2-3, but remember, both of their wins this year have come over teams that are winless, the Jets and the Giants.
Their other three games
were against losing teams.
So they basically could be winless if not for playing a subpar schedule, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, their schedule has been really easy for a defending Super Bowl team, but it picks up a little bit. And to answer your question, Tony, they do play the Seahawks.
November 1st.
November the 1st, yes.
They play the Rams. Seattle. They play the Rams on Sunday Night Football this week.
When you change the Sunday Night Football game,
flex
that game out?
No, they can't because it's still a good game. It's a division rivalry.
It's not a big game.
It is a huge game.
It's definitely
the Rams
not
and
huge.
The phony Niners is the best we can do for
how
Sunday Night Football
not,
this week.
How is that not a big game? The 49ers season is basically how over is if they lose this game.
Like, you know why? Because the entire country does not care that the 49ers season is hanging in the balance.
I think they
only
do.
Only you do.
I think they do.
Nope. I think that's
no,
in your own head, buddy.
I'll tell you one thing, my friend.
It's
the 49ers season, Tony and I told you before it started.
I don't want to hear this again. I do
no,
not want to hear it.
I think he needs to hear it one more time.
One more time.
Chris.
No.
All right, I won't say it, but I will say this. Their next bunch of games are Rams, Patriots, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Rams, Bills.
Oh, seven to,
yeah. So I have an idea. If I'm Jimmy G, I get hurt real fast again so that I don't have to come back and embarrass my reputation over the next 2 months.
You know,
seven right there is going to be a rough go, Scrape.
So what are they right now, Tony? 2-3?
2-3.
They could be 2-10 by the time December gets
That's
around.
That's not going to happen. You know what?
What?
You know,
at that point, they could start looking at Clemson's quarterback.
Exactly.
At that point.
Yeah, then you can finally move on from Jimmy G and get yourself a real quarterback.
I would, you know, I'm.
Look at him. He's already ready to throw
he's
Jimmy
hemming
G
the
under the bus.
Now.
Look at that.
No. When Jimmy G was traded for by the 49ers, I thought that was a good trade. But then they gave him $125 million, and I did not think that was a good contract. So. Hmm. I'm not the biggest of Jimmy G fans, but I will stand by my guy. I do have a poster in my room of Jimmy G. And he winks every once in a while when you look at it, okay?
Uh-huh.
But the guy led them to the Super Bowl last year. He's got to stay
in
the quarterback.
And you're ready to move on already.
I am not ready to move on, but if they are 2-10, tank for Trevor.
He was the quarterback of a Super Bowl team last year. I don't know that he led them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What led them to the Super Bowl was a superior defense, which is now completely depleted by injury.
And a run
game. And a fantastic running game, one of the best the NFL has seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Jimmy G managed
If I was a Niner fan, I'd feel the same way right now, but I'm not.
That's right.
You know what? I get a lot of tweets and calls saying, go 49ers. So I want my 49er faithful out there to have my back, and they do.
I see a lot of tweets from people who are not exactly 49er faithful and kind of tweet negative stuff in your direction. Do you not see that stuff too?
I see it. I just refuse to.
He blocks it out, apparently.
I refuse to. Yeah, I refuse to listen to it.
I just go back and tell everybody 49er fans are arrogant.
And
that's the reason why
everybody.
That's why everybody tweets you, because
big
you
facts.
Tweet to people the fact that when your team is down 30-7 at halftime, you tweet that the other team's going to choke.
Chris
That's
will
arrogance.
Never let that go. He's no, never going to let go of
because
my
I would
tweet
never
on
do
Sunday.
Something like that. I
mean,
could never
talk
do
about
like
arrogance.
I have too much arrogance.
The Dolphins
I have too
won
much respect.
One game. They won a game, and you guys are acting like it's the Super
have
Bowl.
We even did we even mention the Dolphins
didn't
in this segment?
Didn't mention them one time.
Yeah, you brought it up.
Never
when you
a
said
word. This is only about the 49ers right now.
That's it, Scrape. That's all we're talking about, just the Niners.
And don't tell me that I have any Dolphin arrogance. Yesterday we talked NFL, and we talked about the five dominant teams in the AFC right now. Dolphins are not a part of that.
I would have left the room if you would have put the Dolphins a part of that.
Well, I'm just saying. So I'm not arrogant about
What's
anything.
The Dolphins' record this year?
2-3.
Oh, wait. So they're the same exact record. So as
Sounds
the Niners.
Familiar.
How did this happen?
That's all happened. All right. Let's. Did we get traffic in? I can't remember.
No, you were having too much fun talking about the 49ers.
Now let's do some traffic, and then we'll get to the countdown.
Gwen and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, prior to game three of this NLCS, the Dodgers looked like they were going into the tank, about to blow another chance to win a World Series title. And they're still going to be behind in the series 2-1. So today's topic, top five greatest baseball teams who blew it and did not win the World Series.
Number five.
Scraby's in a hurry.
Well, yes, we have 7 minutes.
Do you want to make fun of the 49ers again real quick or no?
No.
All right, number five on my list is the 2017 Dodgers, who won 104 games and then wound up losing in the World Series to the Astros. That was a great Dodger ball club, and I put them on my list because you can kind of add to it the 2018 Dodgers, who were really good and lost the World Series. And you might be able to add the 2020 Dodgers to it as well. So just this version of the Dodgers in general is number five on my list, unless they prove me different.
All right. Number five on my list is the 06-07 Dallas Mavericks. 67-15 in the 2006-07 season. Only to be taken out in the first round.
Oh, did you have to bring this up?
By the We Believe.
We Believe, baby!
Golden State Warriors.
I remember that very well.
Davis,
that's a great
Andres
one,
Beadridge, Monte they Ellis.
They just bullied the Mavericks in that whole series. It was something
they
really,
could not miss a shot for that whole
they
series.
They could not miss a shot.
Unbelievable.
It's first time I ever saw, it felt like at least, watching on TV that a whole team was scared of a whole another team.
Well, Baron Davis looked like he was going to the Hall of Fame that week.
He did.
He was on
He was
fire.
Killing it.
All right. Number four. I've been all mine in baseball, so I'll stay in baseball. Number four for me is the 1988 Bash Brother Oakland Athletics. Phenomenal team with 104 wins that year. And they were so overwhelmingly favored to win the World Series that year. It's surprising that the Dodgers even showed up. But it's a good thing that Kirk Gibson did. And, of course, the Dodgers upset the A's. The 1990 A's, also managed by the great Tony La Russa, I might add, were heavy favorites over the Cincinnati Reds and got swept. So that era of Bash Brothers did win one World Series in 89, but they should have won more. They lost in 88 and 90. Number four.
Number four on my list is the 1994 Montreal Expos. They weren't beat by a team. They were beat by a strike. They were
that's a great
70,
one, Tony.
They were 74-40 when the season ended. That's 34 games above 500. But unfortunately, in August of 1994, the players decided to strike, and that would really be the nail in the coffin for the Expos in Montreal.
Yeah.
Before they would end up moving to Washington.
Not only did they have a great record, but they had an unbelievable list of players on that team. Yeah, Larry
Sean
Walker,
Berry,
Moises Alou, Pedro Martinez. I mean, it just goes on and on and on, the players they
Marquise
had.
Marquise Grissom, yeah.
Oh, man, they were good. Now, that's
number
a great
three.
One. All right, number three for me, you mentioned the Expos of 94. I'm going to go with the 1954. I wasn't alive for it. Cleveland Indians.
Are you sure?
Shut up. You mentioned that the Expos had lost 40 games at the time of the strike. The 1954 Indians only lost 43 games the whole season. They won 111, and they had four 20-game winners on their staff, and they murdered the Yankees, who won the pennant every other year that decade, but they beat the Yankees by like 15 games. That's how great this Cleveland team was. And they went into the World Series, and Willie Mays made the famous catch in Game 1, and the Giants ended up sweeping them. They didn't even get a win in the World Series. So that was one of the great teams of all time that came up short.
Is this three, right?
Number three.
The 1993 Atlanta Braves. This team had Chipper Jones, Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine. They caught the Giants late in that year to win the National League West, only to be upset by the underdog Phillies in six games that year. Phillies would obviously, they'd go on to play the Blue Jays, I believe.
Yes, you're right.
And then that's the famous Joe Carter home run that sent them home packing. But that Braves team was supposed to be the one that year, and they didn't even get to the World Series.
Yes, and I believe that that team you're talking about, that they beat the Giants. I believe the Giants won 102 games.
They did.
And didn't even make the playoffs because there was no wild card back then.
Just a West and an East.
Yeah, so the Giants got hosed a little bit.
Yeah, the Braves had no business being in the West, by the way.
Yeah, that's right. What were the Braves doing in the West? That's for another countdown and another time.
Number two.
Number two on my list of all-time great teams never to win was the 1969 Baltimore Orioles. Won 109 games. They had four 20-game winners. They were overwhelming favorites in the World Series. Why? Because they were playing the expansion New York Mets. And the Miracle Mets are the Miracle Mets because they beat the powerhouse Baltimore Orioles in five games in that World Series. That was an unbelievable Oriole team. Just about a Hall of Famer at every position and all the pitchers. But the Miracle Mets are the Miracle Mets for that reason.
Number two on my list, we talk about this baseball team often, and it's the Seattle Mariners. 116 wins. They go 116-49, and they were able to beat the Cleveland Indians in the division series, but got boat raced in the ALCS against the Yankees in 2001. And it's still, I think it's the most wins in a year for any team still. And these guys did not, I repeat, did not. This is a team with Ichiro as the rookie of the year, I believe, that season. They had Mike Cameron on that team, Brett Boone, and they go out in five to the Yankees that year before even getting to the World Series.
116 wins. You know, they were plus 300 in terms of run differential that year.
Yeah.
Think about that. Plus
that's
300.
That's crazy. I mean, 116 wins is crazy. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Number one.
They're my number one. Greatest baseball team never to win the World Series, the 2001 Mariners. Absolutely. Same reasons you just gave us, Tony. I mean, I don't know how you could do a whole lot better than that and come up short. So that's my number one. Who do you have?
Number one on my list is the greatest show on turf, the 2001 St. Louis Rams.
Very
with
good.
San Diego State's own Marshall Faulk, Kurt Warner, Isaac Bruce. Yes, that would be the start of the New England Patriots dynasty as we know it. They would take down this greatest show on turf, St. Louis Rams. That completes my list.
Boy, I liked your list, man. Nice work. My list was all right, but your list was really good. Hey, Jose Altuve has been heard from again in the American League Championship Series, but this time with a home run. The Astros jump in front 1-0. We're back with the happy hour next with Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.